anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. The foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Doug and Daddy Show on this first Monday of 2009. Glad to have you along with us on ESPN 1460 and 1550 and the World Wide Web. ESPNSuperstation.com. Don't forget, phone lines are always open, 1-888-455-ESPN, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Glad to have you along with us here today, except there's no Daddy. Daddy is out today. Daddy is admitting that he's sick. Daddy is at the doctor. Daddy hopefully getting slapped around at the doctor's office. So joining me and Derek in studio from the Kearney Hub, still employed in 2009, Chris Baznett. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? Happy New Year to me. Just happy to have a job. Happy to be replacing Doug. I'm glad to see that everybody else knows that Doug is, or that Daddy is sick now, and not just the people in the studio.
This is actually physically sick, so hopefully he'll be back, you know, by 2010, and we got all that to go. A few things to talk about today. Unfortunately, the big fella out because of the playoffs, but not all the home teams won, not all the favorites won, not all the underdogs won. Made it exciting. Minnesota was the team we thought they were yesterday. They were the up-and-down team into the playoffs. Colin Cowherd's right about Indianapolis. Miami, wow.
Yeah.
I'm scared of Baltimore right now. I'm scared.
They look good. You know, I'm not a big NFL guy. I'm more of a college fan, but I do know that Tavaris Jackson is probably one of the worst NFL quarterbacks I've ever seen in the history of mankind, and he proved it yesterday.
And I think when good football teams are in the playoffs, and I guess this is what's hard to determine, because you know what? Philadelphia was no different than the Vikings. They were up and down. They were hot at the end of the year, but it's not like the Vikings went away at the end of the year. They won the couple of the games that they needed to keep the Bears off their tail and get into the playoffs. But it's hard to judge, and you don't know anymore. It doesn't seem like you know from week to week.
And that's what the NFL wants. They always talk about parity. We want teams to be even. We want everybody to be able to beat anybody week in and week out. And like you said, the Vikings were good. They were good at home this year. I believe they lost once or twice at home. The Eagles go in there, pretty much dominate defensively, other than giving up one long run to Adrian Peterson. Pretty much control that game.
They're supposed to be a good defensive team, and I kind of think they were, but they never got to Donovan McNabb, and it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. When your quarterback has time, he's going to pick you apart, and we saw that in the playoffs. We saw that in the last couple weeks of the season, and so we move on to week two of the playoffs, and here's your lineup. Saturday, Baltimore at Tennessee, and now everybody loves Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Then Arizona will be at Carolina. Carolina is like a 10-point favorite.
That's unbelievable. It really is.
It is, and now you have to wonder. Arizona was so key on, well, everybody thinks we're going to lose to Atlanta. Again, is this it? Did they accomplish their goal?
Yeah. And, I was reading a column somewhere online where it said, Arizona's got the potential to be that team where we're the nobody believes in us team. And, for the second week in a row, nobody believes in them. Kurt Warner could go in there and sling it around 60 times and throw for 400 yards. And the next thing they're up 17-10 in the fourth quarter. And Carolina's trying to come back. I mean, you never know.
Well, I guess the good thing about that is that for Kurt Warner, he can't play in cold weather. And this one, although it may not be warm, it won't be frigid. So yeah. Philadelphia playing at the Giants, the first game on Sunday, and then Pittsburgh hosting San Diego. Mike and Mike made an interesting point this morning. All four games this weekend were played in warm weather, and at least three of the games will be in pretty brutal cold weather this week in Pittsburgh, in New York, and I guess, we'll see what happens in Tennessee and Carolina, but obviously Pittsburgh and New York are supposed to be pretty cold.
Yeah, and we went from a week where all four road teams were favored. You're looking at a week when all four home teams, before it's all said and done, could be favored. And, it's, again, just the way things seem to work.
Doug and Daddy's show on this Monday. We will be talking with Steve Sipple. As we promised on Friday, we're going to take a look ahead now at Nebraska football as we kind of wrap up this 2009 season. So Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star is going to join us in our second segment. Chris Basnett from the Kearney Hub filling in for Daddy today. Chris, Mark and Minden wants to know, is Tavarius Jackson worse than Tony Banks?
What we should do is, you know, they used to have that show on, I think it was like Wide World of Sports or something, where they had the quarterback competition at the end of the year, and you had, you know, the good, you had Peyton Manning, you had Tom Brady, quarterbacks like that. We need to get like Tavarius Jackson, Tony Banks.
And it was always those clowns that won it, too.
Yeah.
But that's when Donovan McNabb would stand back there and throw it 70 yards down their fake field and put it right on the goal line and win the competition.
Yeah, I think we need to do that to see who the worst quarterback is. Maybe we get Cleo Lemon, the former Miami Dolphins quarterback, in that.
Well, so. I guess he never got a chance to take a snap at quarterback in the National Football League. But last night, kind of changing gears here, but I want to get back to that. Who is the worst quarterback? Who is the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League? But last night, as my ears were bleeding driving home, game night on ESPN, Amy Lawrence and Eric Crouch.
Yes, I heard about this. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I heard about it, and my ears started bleeding from just hearing about it.
I heard some of it, too.
Oh, and you know, if you're Eric Crouch's friend or in the circle, and I hear that maybe he's an okay guy, it's just if folks that listen to this show, I guess you probably know my disdain as a, and I don't know the guy, and I guess this is what, I don't even think they're pot shots. I think everything I've said on the show is true. Mm-hmm. He's a quitter.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's the one thing that would ring through. He would probably pop me right in the face if he was sitting here, and maybe we'll have him on the show. But I didn't like the way he played. I didn't like the way he conducted himself. And I guess it's not up to me, him, to please us, the fan, about how he handles himself. But I just never – he wasn't the best player in college football. He got the Heisman Trophy. He made some incredible plays. But when you're doing – I mean, it's like Allen Iverson. If you shoot 50 times a game, you're probably going to score 30
exactly.
a night.
Yeah.
You know, and if Eric Crouch carries the ball 90% of the time, he's going to get in the end zone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just been trying to find a spot now since all this, and wow, he could be coming to the national scene. And I have to ask, what does he have to offer? From
exactly.
a professional opinion, what does he have to offer? He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. You're ESPN, you're looking for somebody to give you analysis on NFL games, and you go to a guy, like we said, that never played in the NFL and was ready to quit in college. You can find anybody better. There's probably three guys in the studio that know more about NFL football than Eric Crouch.
I remember, I mean, last night, Amy Lawrence says, you know, when you were getting ready with the Green Bay Packers, yada yada, I'm just going, oh, my God.
Brutal.
You know, when you were quitting your freshman season to run home to your coach at Millard, and then
when Frank Solich was chasing you down Dodge Avenue. And
when you went to the pros and quit, when you went to the AFL, oh, what is he?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be playing in that hybrid arena league. So anyway, who is the worst quarterback in the National Football League?
That's, I don't know. Still, Tony
Dan
Eason?
Orlovsky?
Do we go back? Dan Orlovsky?
Current.
Dan Orlovsky, probably one of the five worst plays in the history of the NFL, running out of the back of the end zone.
Funniest, though.
Oh, hilarious.
Not even realizing it four or five steps being out of bounds. Didn't even realize it.
You got to give him credit for keeping his eyes downfield that whole time, though, trying to find a receiver. So.
Holy crap, they're all open. How come the defensive back stopped? How come everybody stopped? Oh, I'm out of the end zone. Safety, but that's interesting. Well, again, we'll get to the Dent Popper inbox here before we go into our first break, and Steve Sipple joins us. But I guess for a lot of people, hey, welcome back to the real world. Welcome back, people that had days off from before Christmas until today. Mm-hmm. A lot of the schools just getting back after it. And we start tonight with some great basketball. There's a couple games in the area. Sutton's at Kearney Catholic. That's a pretty good battle of two state-rated girls teams. And I'll be headed over to Grand Island, Central Catholic Minden. And right now, both those teams on the boys' side are unbeaten. Girls' teams each have five wins under their belt. Girls at 6, boys at 7:45 on Power 99. Chris, you're going over as well.
I'm really looking forward to that boys' game. I had a chance to see both of them play. I watched GICC just dismantle Ravana in the Hastings Holiday Tournament, watching them beat Kearney Catholic the next night. And then I watched Minden beat a pretty good Axtell team in a pretty good game over at Minden's place. So I'm really excited to see how that one goes.
I guess I was more impressed because, quite frankly, I thought, well, I've seen Central Catholic. I haven't seen Minden. I know they've lost some players, and they hadn't really thumped anybody that was awesome yet. But then they took it to Adams Central pretty good. And I don't know if that's a big star game, but when you beat Axtell by 2 and then you beat Adams Central by 16, that's going up to the Class B level. I think that's a pretty good indicator that we might have a game. And the thing that sticks out to me, Central Catholic played the two best teams that they've played so far, record-wise, are Ravenna and Kearney Catholic. And they're starting to put some points on the board.
Yeah,
this is not a team that we, and Tony has bashed this system before, that, you know, they're winning 38-31 and 40-36 and 32-27. But they are putting points up in the 50s, 60s, and against a couple teams that just weren't good. They've even managed to get to 80.
And if they're doing that and still playing the kind of defense that they tend to play, you know, you can ask the question, who's going to beat them? If they're scoring 60 points a night, you know you have to score 65 points to beat GICC. That's a pretty tall task. And on the other side of it, you look at Minden, they lost a lot of guys. The guy they have back, Gavin Bloom, in the middle, has given them a big presence inside. They bring Pete Trausch off the bench, who was a heck of a football player for them. That does open things up for their guards outside. And if their guards are hitting shots, you know, they're one of those teams that could score 60, 65 points and give GICC a run.
And a lot of people are happy they're in C1.
Very, very happy.
Because look at this. And I have connections with the folks in the eastern part of the state. There are two C2 boys sub-districts that will have the wild card come out of it. Mm-hmm. One is the one with Loup City, Ravenna, and Axtell.
Mm-hmm.
Sub-district.
Yeah.
And the other one has Fremont Bergen, Elmwood Murdoch, East Butler, and there might even be one more team in there that are either in the same sub-district or same district. And of those teams I just mentioned, they are either R-rated or will be rated when the new rankings come out tomorrow.
Yeah, and those are all teams that you mentioned that could go down to Lincoln, could win a game or two down at Lincoln. It's really, you know, and it's the same thing we see every year. You see all these great teams in the same sub-districts, then you see sub-districts with, you know, nobody in them, and then, you know, it's just the way it gets spread out, and this is one of those years where it happens. We got one of those sub-districts around here.
We have seen a lot of different games. I think we've seen some of the same teams, but one team that has impressed me despite the loss is watch out for Loup City's boys. I think they are very, very talented, but they have been put in a situation somewhat like Ravenna. I think Axtell is going to be okay in this sub-district because I think they're going to have a pretty easy time in the Fort Kearney Conference. The conferences are down this year. I don't think anybody is really going to argue with that. The overall top teams, there aren't as many. Now, some of the teams towards the bottom may be getting better. Fort Kearney, you know, I've seen them. You've seen SEM. I haven't seen them yet. We'll get to some teams a little east of here because I think down around Lawrence Nelson, they're doing well, and some of those teams down the Twin Valley Conference are doing pretty good. Can SEM, I mean, since they're a D2 school, things kind of look good for them, I guess, in that aspect.
In that aspect of being a D2 school, I think they're a very good team. I saw them play Ansley, who's also an improved team, maybe a little bit out of your coverage area, but also a very good team. And, you know, seeing SEM and seeing Axtell, their SEM's not going to get close to Axtell. You know, I think Axtell's just, like you said, they're so talented in that conference this year. And you look at Pleasanton's down, Loomis is down. The teams that are normally pretty good are down. You're looking at maybe Amherst being a semifinalist in the FKC. Axtell beat Amherst by 30, 40 points already. I mean, it's just one of those years. And it's the same thing in the Loup Platte. Like you say, Loup City's a very good team. Ravenna's a good team. They're maybe down a little bit from last year. St. Paul's a good team. You know, and again, Adams Central got beat by 15, 20 points by Minden. So, you know, who knows after that? Like you said, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think I agree with you that the conferences are down, and I think it's going to be Axtell, and it's going to be everybody else in the FKC.
We've been used, as far as some of these conference tournaments, is you can pencil in the same three teams almost every year, and then maybe that fourth team, you know, has switched out from one to another. But I think you're going to see some different teams when we get to the conference tournament this year. You'll still see a couple of the same in these conferences, but I think it's going to change up. Before we go to break, who has impressed you? I want to say Overton, I think, is going to be good once they're getting healthier. They're still not going to have all the studs that are in that school because of injuries. Mm-hmm. But who else has impressed you, boys or girls? I guess we've been leaning on the boys here a little bit. I think Ravenna's girls are the best team. It's insane.
It's unbelievable.
I think we're looking at an unbeaten basketball team.
And you've seen the way they've shot the ball the last few weeks. If they're making three-pointers, they're very, very impressive. They've been the best girls team I've saw. I think Kearney Catholic has improved quite a bit. They're starting to make a few outside shots, and that's starting to kind of open things up inside for Katie Sokolowski and Becky Squires. You know, I haven't seen a lot of girls teams or as many girls teams as I've seen boys teams this year. in the FKC, Pleasanton's obviously probably going to go unchallenged through the FKC for the most part. I think they've played some decent teams and handled them pretty easily so far, so I'd like to see them get a test. Outside of that, you know, I was, like I said, been surprised with SEM. They've been a good boys team, Urbana, obviously, Loup City, or Bendon. It'll be interesting, you know, as we get into the new year, excuse me, and teams kind of start to get healthy and get into a groove, it'll be interesting to see who kind of comes to the top.
Silver Lake girls, very impressive. I saw them against Axtell. I think they're going to be a very impressive ball club as well. So all that, we'll talk a little bit more. And because right now football season's winding down, basketball season's getting going, we're going to get into conference play. If you're not there already, Big 12 starts this week. Nebraska takes on Florida A&M to wrap up what I call the circus edition, which is all the cotton candy and powder puffs. And they're struggling.
Yeah.
They get Missouri. I thought the Big 12 schedule would set up nice for Nebraska to start the year. Now Missouri's hot. They were rated for a little bit, and that's who they open with Saturday tonight, Florida A&M. You can hear it on The Breeze, 94.5 FM and 1230 KHAS. We'll talk a little more college basketball, the Lopers, the Broncos got back into it, but Husker football is coming up as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show, so stay with us for that. We want to look at some of the other college games. Steve Sipple is going to join us right after this.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of my own!
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately.
First Bank and Trust.
You're the reason we do what we do. Everything we are begins with you.
First Bank and Trust.
You can count on us.
You're the one we're working for. Come on over, you get more. We are here for you. First Bank and Trust.
You can count on us.
First Bank and Trust.
First Bank and Trust, Cozad, Clay Center, and Eustace.
Home, a place where you can truly be yourself, feel comfortable, and share with loved ones. Isn't it time you come home? Home Real Estate is here to help you find your dream home. Whether you're looking for commercial or residential, Home Real Estate is ready to spend the time with you to find the perfect match. Finding you the right home at the right price is our top priority. Get a free market analysis. Second in Burlington and downtown Hastings. Call 402-461-6930 or see us online, homehastings.com. Relax, you're at home. Home Real Estate.
Here it comes again for the 32nd year, the amazing Camper and Boat Show, all under the roof at the Grand Island Fauna Park and Heartland Expo Center. When? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January 9, 10, and 11. You won't believe the number of all new campers and boats from the area's leading RV dealers. Eagle Crest, Rich & Sons, Dykeman's Camper Place. Then add to that four of Nebraska's finest boat dealers. Noon to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 5 on Sunday. The huge RV and Boat Expo, Fauna Park, Grand Island, January 9, 10, and 11.
Release weight loss that works.
I spent the last 5 years and literally thousands of dollars trying anything and everything I could to lose weight. Nothing really worked until I found Complete 500. Complete 500 gave me so much energy and truly burned additional calories. I could see and feel the difference. Complete 500, it really does help burn additional calories every day.
Only at your Tri-City GNCs in Hastings, Grand Island, and Kearney.
For more exciting high school sports action in 2009, be sure to keep it on our network of stations. Starting tonight on Power 99 FM, as Grand Island Central Catholic welcomes in Minden. The girls will tip at 6, and a battle of unbeaten boys teams go at 7:45. And don't forget, every game heard on Power 99, The Breeze 94.5, KHAS, or ESPN Radio can also be heard on the web at ESPNSuperstation.com, including tonight with Minden at Grand Island Central Catholic.
Here's a look at our forecast. Overall, for much of our Monday, anticipate bright sunshine. South winds also increasing to around 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a high temperature rebounding close to 38 degrees. For our Monday night, cloud cover on the increase with a low near 18. And then for our Tuesday, mostly cloudy and a high near 43.
Currently 28 degrees.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Fiesta Bowl is tonight. You can hear it right here on ESPN Radio. Kickoff shortly after 7 o'clock, Texas and Ohio State. And since we last spoke, a lot of underdogs have done well in college football. In fact, all three underdogs won on Friday after Buffalo quit getting turnovers from Connecticut. Connecticut went on and won that ball game. And tonight, Texas and Ohio State. Doug Duda, Big Daddy, is out today. Chris Baznett from the Kearney Hub joins us. And Baz, everybody is on Texas. And you know what that usually means.
That means Ohio State's probably going to make this a game, which I hope not. I hate the Big Ten. I hate it. God.
It's sometimes it's tough to root for Texas, but you got to hope Texas says, you know what, we still have a chance to maybe get a share of a national title here, and we're going to go out and play. And we'll find out. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve, good morning, buddy. Is Steve there?
Let's try him one more time. Here you go.
There you go. We got to slap around Derek a little bit. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
How's your Jacksonville tan?
I don't know. I guess it's pretty good. It's mostly on my face because I had long sleeve shirts and, you know, winter type clothes. But it was really nice.
You know, Daddy's out today, Sip, and he's sick, but he was here on the show Friday, so I'm trying to figure out what exactly happened to the big fella, because I could see the leftover from the bowl game on New Year's Eve, and he wasn't with you in Jacksonville. I'm a little concerned, and he misses you.
Daddy's very much a sentimental person.
He's a sensitive guy. He really is.
He needs to get over that a little bit. You know, I don't. I miss Daddy, but it's good to be. You know, it's good to be on with you guys.
Well, you're back here, back in Lincoln. The season has come to an end, and as we talked about on the show last week, we would wait until this week to kind of preview and see where the Huskers wrapped up the season, and then people already looking ahead, who's going to be back, what holes need to be filled, all that kind of stuff. And let's start with the big story with Ndamukong Suh. We've got emails here from somebody who works with a mom who lives in Seattle. I mean, you know, stuff I'm not even going to read because you just don't know. But what is your thought right now on Ndamukong?
Well, I mean, he's got a tough decision to make is what I think. I mean, I don't think it's as cut and dried as he kind of tries to make it sound. I mean, I think, you know, after the game he said he was 99% sure he's coming back. And I think he kind of, I don't know, I guess going into the game I felt his mindset was probably, look, I don't want this to become a distraction. And as we know, it can become a major distraction as a team gets ready. I mean, you see it at other places. You've seen it at Nebraska, where that seems like all anybody wants to talk about. And he did a good job of, I don't know if he tried, if that was his intention to kind of play down that talk and almost rule it out that he'd go to the NFL so he would focus and his team would focus on Clemson. Maybe he really means that he has no intention of doing it, but I'd be surprised if that were the case. I think that now, leading to the January 15 deadline, he's got a big decision to make. And we'll see where it goes. I don't have a great feel for it. I mean, all I know is what I heard him say after the ball game, and I don't know if anything's changed since then or not. But I do know this. He's a high round second or low round first, and I think he's got to look at it.
Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Right now, Scouts, Inc. has Sue listed number 31 of the NFL draft-eligible players. Sip, what do you think is the biggest loss that Nebraska is going to incur outside of Joe Gans? Because I think that's probably the easy one. Where else, what's going to be the number one need-to-fill spot going into spring ball?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, and I don't know. I guess you might convince me otherwise, but I don't think so. I think the wideouts. I mean, you're trying to replace Nate Swift, who caught 63 passes, and Todd Peterson, who caught 62. So there's some young guys in the system that can play, but there's nobody who's approached 60 catches. I mean, Manley Colt had 30, I think, this year. So he's got to step up his production quite a bit now. And you got to have some people who are very reliable to replace those guys, because Swift and Peterson were extremely reliable. Now, who's going to step up? I don't know. But that right there, to me, is after Joe Gans, that's where I go, the receiver position.
And we just talked about the receivers. Now, obviously, everybody wants to know who's going to throw it to him, who steps into that spot that Joe Gans was in, Sip.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's going to be, obviously, it's going to be, that'll dominate discussion during the off season. And I like Patrick Witt. I like his size, and I like the way he manages the offense. Now, the question with him, in my opinion, is can he make plays? Can he create the way Gans did? I don't know. I don't even know if they'll ask him to, but that, I mean, I know Patrick can manage an offense. He can get you in the right plays. I think he can command the huddle. I think he's a very intelligent individual who will know the offense, but I just wonder, and I don't know because I haven't seen enough of him, if he can create when things break down. And I think in the, just when you watch college football, those are the quarterbacks that are having the most success. And we'll see if he can do that. Now, Zach Lee, he, I think, is a guy that can create when things break down, or just create plays on his own, make plays kind of on his own, step up in the pocket, roll out, those type of things. But can Zach Lee manage the offense as well as Patrick Witt can? So you're kind of talking about two different guys in some senses. And you can't rule out Cody Spano. And you probably can't rule out Cody Green. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody can answer it right now. That's what winter conditioning. You know, things will start sorting themselves out a little bit in winter conditioning, and maybe a little bit by the end of spring ball. But I think this thing will go into August.
Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping up the Husker season, kind of looking ahead. Six black shirts are gone in Murillo, Wortman, Steinkuhler, Potter, Severs, Shaquree Barfield going to be gone. And I guess, Sip, that might have to be the most surprising thing. A lot of people knew Bo Pelini was going to come in and get this defense better, but I don't know if he was expected to get it this better this quickly. Was the defense that good in the Gator Bowl, or was Clemson's offense just not that good?
Well, I mean, I'll take the easy way out and then say it's a little bit of both. But, I think Nebraska, their defense played pretty well down the stretch. Not great against Colorado. Colorado was a strange game because if you look at it statistically, Nebraska played really well defensively, except for the big plays, which you can't ignore. But I thought, down the stretch, that Nebraska played pretty well defensively at Kansas State. They came up big against Kansas, although Kansas obviously put up 35. I don't know. I guess in some ways I'm amazed how good the defense got toward the end of the year. I mean, not that they were a top 25 defense or anything like that, but when you consider where they were last year, and then you consider what you saw against Colorado and Clemson, guys making plays at the end, walk-ons making plays, young guys making plays. I mean, it shows. I mean, I think everybody knew that that Bo coached defense, we got a pretty good reminder of it, I guess, down the stretch.
Steve Sipple is with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm just going to throw some names out and just kind of get maybe a quick reaction on where these kids stand in your eyes. First, a lot of people have been asking, will Andy Christensen be back?
Yeah, that's a good question. And if you talk to, for instance, Matt Slauson during Gator Bowl preparations, just basically spoke as if Andy Christensen will be back. Now, Barney Cotton, after I talked to Slauson last week, I asked Barney, and he was more guarded about it and said it's not for sure at this point. I think some of it will have to do with Andy, whether he wants to come back. And I think the coaches really would like to see him come back and help depth at the guard positions, where they're a little shallow depth-wise inside on that offensive line. But they got to, we'll see if Andy wants to come back. And that might be part of it. I shouldn't speak for Andy there, but I guess the bottom line is it's a little indefinite, but I think we'll see him back.
Barry Turner, injured early, expected to get that medical hardship. Do we know the latest there?
Well, he's there. I mean, he wasn't practicing, but he was watching every practice in street clothes. He remains very active in the program. Yeah, he'll be back. And I expect that he'll be a huge part of that defensive line next year.
We've got actually quite a few kids, and I apologize if I leave any of them out, but I'll run down maybe four kids here from the area. Lance Thorell from Loomis, Jared Crick from Cozad. You got Colton Keeler from Harvard that just stepped in and played more as this season went along. And then you've got the transfer, Derek Meyer, out of Silver Lake High School. Who stands out? We heard a lot about, the reason Lance Thorell's playing is because there's nobody else that came in this recruiting class, and they just weren't that deep, and maybe that was the reason behind Colton playing and some of that. But it seems like as the season got along, they got better. Maybe out of those four kids, is there somebody that sticks out that can really keep contributing to this team?
All four. All four.
Well, that's good. Really, that's good.
I mean, they're not – it's no fluke there on the field. And then I look for – I think Lance will keep playing. Meyer, I can tell you, will be part of the, he'll play next year. And I don't know that he'll be a starter, but when Barney talks about his top eight or nine guys for next year, Meyer is always a guy he mentions. And the good thing about Meyer is he can play guard or tackle. So that'll help him a lot. Thorell is a good football player. Now he's got experience. Now they're bringing in a lot of guys, granted, in that recruiting class, but Thorell will have an advantage in being in that system. And if, I'm not saying he's going to start, but I think you'll continue to see him on regular downs and on special teams. I just think there's a place for a kid like that. Who else are we talking about?
Well, I think you covered them all, my man.
Well, Colton Keeler.
We had Colton and Jared.
I mean,
Crick
Colton
and
Keeler. I think you could almost say that I don't want to say he beat Philip Dillard out straight up, but Philip was getting pretty healthy, and as the bowl approached, and you still saw Colton Keeler on the field, which I think says a lot about him. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Nebraska wasn't getting the kids here from Nebraska stepping up and really getting things done, and you just look down the line, and it wasn't all Nebraska kids because everybody really kind of stepped up, but it hadn't been for some of these kids we mentioned this year. 9-4 would not have happened.
No, no question. I mean, they got a lot out of those guys what you kind of saw in some ways was, I know you don't always like to hear this stuff, but you kind of saw old Nebraska come back a little bit in that you had guys that weren't necessarily 4- and 5-star players, but guys that had a lot of want to and that were still pretty good football players. I mean, the thing you don't want to do is diminish the talent of those guys just because they didn't have stars by their names or we perceived that they came out of nowhere. But those guys can play football. I mean, they're tough football players, and that's you saw a guy like O'Hanlon make a great play, just a tough play in the end zone. And Colton Kaler's just a hard-nosed kid that plays good football. Same with Thorell. Sometimes I don't like to talk about it in the terms a lot of people do because it diminishes their talent, and they're talented. I mean, those kids are big time football players.
Steve Simple, we'll got a couple questions left for you. Overall, I mean, we talked right before the Gator Bowl, so I think we got a lot of your impressions of how you thought this season went. Where do you think Nebraska is going into next year? I'm not looking for an early win loss prediction, but will this be a better football team next year? Will it be about the same? I know there's a wait and see for a lot of these kids, especially at the quarterback position, to see what they have. Just kind of your gut feeling on where Nebraska is as they get ready for spring ball in a couple of months.
Well, there's so many unknowns, and I'll tell you, I'm going to have to formulate a better answer as the off season goes on because nobody's going to want to ask me anything. Here's why. Because it's hard to... I find it hard to make any kind of meaningful prediction when I don't know the quarterback. It's almost like trying to predict when you don't know who the head coach is. I mean, it's going to be tough in the off season to do that, having not seen a lot of Patrick Witt and Zach Lee and Spano and Green. I just don't know exactly what you're going to get at that position, so it's difficult. Now, I mean, my gut is getting formidable after the breaker, but my gut feeling is we're looking at a similar type season, and it's going to be tough. You got to go to Colorado, and you have to go to Kansas, and you have to go to Missouri to win games. You got that big game at Virginia Tech, which is going to be tough. And I don't even, some of those Sun Belt teams looked a little tough to me. Florida Atlantic, starting the season with Florida Atlantic.
Oh, no.
I guess the best way to put it right now at this early juncture is we're going to find out a little bit on in the opener. I mean, Florida Atlantic, I don't want to make them out to be something they're not, but they're pretty good. They have talent. It's not like you're opening against a bad team now. You're opening against a decent team, so we'll know a lot when they play Florida Atlantic in the season opener. And, we just really got to watch. What we really got to do is watch the spring develop closely and then watch preseason camp, and then you'll get a little better feel for that quarterback position.
Well, we've got some emails that have rolled in chatting and praising Utah, and I know you'll be voting in the final AP ballot. What are you going to do with Utah, Sip?
Well, here's the thing. I'd want as an AP voter to make a strong proclamation right now until the other games are played, mainly the BCS title game. But even Texas, you want to be fair to the teams that haven't played yet. And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm leaning towards putting Utah number one on my ballot, because that would be unfair to the teams that haven't played. Now, having said that, got to look at it pretty closely because of what Utah did. They took, they pushed around a pretty good Alabama team, a real good Alabama team. I was really taken by Alabama watching them play Florida in the SEC game. So Utah definitely makes you think. And I am not, I will say this, I'm not averse to a split national champion where the AP poll would crown, the Associated Press would crown Utah, and then the BCS would crown Oklahoma or Florida. I'm just fine with that. And, again, I'll look at it pretty close. But, if Oklahoma comes out and blows the doors off of Florida, for instance, it'd be hard not to vote Oklahoma number one, or vice versa.
Where are you going to put the Big Red?
See, now I'm not being evasive.
You don't have 10 through 25 already wrote down?
No, I don't. What I'm doing this morning, I looked at that Utah thing first, and now I'm going to look at the poll a little bit. I can't even remember what my poll was because it's been so long ago since the last one. And, what you have to do is look at those final, I'd say, you have to look at 17 through 25, roughly, and see what those teams did before you can do anything. I think Nebraska faces a little bit of an uphill climb to get in, but I wouldn't. I'm not ruling it out, and I'm not trying to dodge a question. I just need to look at it a little closer.
Hey, no problem, man. You're still trying to get the sunblock on. I got no problem with that, Sip. We always appreciate chatting with you. And the national championship game coming up Thursday tonight, Texas and Ohio State. Always appreciate you joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good show. Take care.
Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping up the Husker season, kind of looking ahead. A lot of unknowns going into next year.
That's a lot of questions.
Well, that's why I stated Friday, I'm not sure this team necessarily will win more games, because you just don't know.
Yeah, and like you said, not having a starting quarterback in place, it's almost like not having a head coach. There's questions on defense and the defensive line, if Ndamukong Suh stays or goes, Zach Potter's leaving, obviously things like that. There's a lot of question marks, and the schedule's tough. I mean, I don't know if I'd agree with the Sun Belt stuff that Sipple was talking about, but it's like you said, going on the road to some of these places, it's going to be tough to win more games than the 9 we won this year.
But need to win those games, and maybe that first game is going to be pretty difficult, and it will have all of the sidebars with Schnellenberger, the coach, and a new quarterback at Nebraska, and yada this, yada that, but you got to win, though. You have to win those games.
Wouldn't it be something if we had to go for 2 in that first game against Florida Atlantic to beat Howard and Schnellenberger and the Florida Atlantic Owls?
Slap you. Doug and Daddy Show, Chris Basnett of the Kearney Hub filled in for Daddy, who's out today. He's a little under the weather, and hopefully be back tomorrow. That's what I'm supposed to say, right? We need to take a break here, and by now you know why Boston College ought to fire their athletic director back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Please turn your head and cough.
Very few things in life are more uncomfortable.
Get to the 10.
Nero Alamo Bowl.
Get to the 5.
Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Get to the end.
The All-State Sugar Bowl.
Get to the end zone.
The Rose Bowl.
Bring in the heat. Lob for the end zone. Wide open. Wide touchdown. Open. Touchdown.
The Valero end Alamo zone. Bowl.
Caught.
The BCS National Championship.
Dean Bowls, including the entire BCS and title game between now and January 8th. It'll be in your dashboard, on your nightstand, in your garage, under the tree. Take ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM along everywhere and anywhere you are. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com for a complete bowl and broadcast listing. And while you're there, become a super fan. It'll make you a better person in 2009.
Nature's fifth season. Bowl season on ESPN Radio.
If you don't know how to make that person driving by want to stop and come into your business, if you don't know how to make that person who needs your service dial your phone number, you're in danger of being out of business. If you don't know where to find the answers to these challenges, log on to marketingfirepower.info for the information you need to turn consumers into customers and succeed in any economy. Log on to marketingfirepower.info today. Your business will succeed with marketingfirepower.info.
Nature's fifth season.
It's in the end zone.
The Rose Bowl.
Bring in the heat. Lob for the end zone. Wide open. Wide touchdown. Touchdown.
The Valero Alamo Bowl. The BCS National Championship.
Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com for a complete bowl and broadcast listing. And while you're there, become a super fan. It'll make you a better person in 2009.
Here's a look at our forecast overall for much of our Monday. Anticipate bright sunshine. South winds also increasing to around 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a high temperature rebounding close to 38 degrees. For our Monday night, cloud cover on the increase with a low near 18. And then for our Tuesday, mostly cloudy and a high near 43.
Currently 28 degrees.
Nobody wanna see us together, but it don't matter.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We will have an H-Man from Riverdale email coming up the 1st of 2009.
I'm so happy to hear that.
I thought you would be. It's 2009 and time to get into Misco Sports, the downtown Kearney Center, to pick up your favorite college and NFL gear. Maybe you got to pick up a new team for the National Football League playoffs. They've got gear for you. Plenty of great deals. Columbia coats, ski coats, always on sale. Great selection of shoes. We said maybe you got some holiday cash and want to spend it on yourself. That's the place to do it. Whether you're getting into that New Year's resolution, which everybody says, I got to exercise more, I got to work out more. I never make that resolution because why bother? But if you want to get ready to go, they've got the shoes, the shorts, the workout gear, whether it's inside, outside, they can take care of you. Come in and talk to Steve and the gang today. That's right. Steve times Deuce at Misco Sports on the Brooks and breaks in the downtown Kearney Center. And now, H-Man from Riverdale. I had this email in my hands before asking Steve Sipple about Utah. Greetings, which is about the nicest way he's ever started off an email.
Sorry, he knows how to spell that.
H-Man from Riverdale says, congrats to the 2008 Division I national champion, Utah. If you think that any other team is entitled to this label, you are wrong. Oklahoma is not entitled because they lost to Texas, period. Florida, not deserving because they lost to Mississippi, period. Utah beat every team they played, and they ended the season by beating an Alabama team that the sports know-it-alls told us was the best team in the country for over half the season. Utah won the national championship the old-fashioned way, on the field. Utah is the only team in the country that has an objective argument to be number one. Any argument for another team is nonsense, and you need to shut up and stop embarrassing yourselves.
H-Man.
He's got more about Nebraska, but first, nobody, and even though you could just tell the hesitation in Steve Sipple's voice, there is no scenario that is going to allow Utah to be the number one team in the country.
There isn't, and it's too bad because they probably deserve a shot. They, like H-Man said, they beat everybody on their schedule. They beat a real good Alabama team. They beat a real good TCU team, which a lot of people forget. You know, they beat BYU, who everybody thought was going to be decent.
Well, that was one of the two. They thought the BYU-Utah winner was going to be your buster.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, BYU, had they won, wouldn't have been anyway, but Utah did. I don't know what you do with Utah. I think Alabama should be embarrassed for the performance they put on in the
that
Sugar
pathetic,
Bowl.
Yeah.
Nice job, Coach of the Year. Also, second-place Coach of the Year, Mike Leach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Coach of the Year gets their guys ready to go every day.
And, they, you know, we've seen that in the bowl season. They haven't. Big 12 South right now needs to save some face.
0-2. Big 12 South, 0-2. Big 12 North, 3-0. And done.
And done. So we win the Bowl Challenge Cup, right? The Big 12 North wins the Bowl Challenge Cup on ESPN.
And it's not because, you know, I used to say everybody hounded on the Big 12 because they didn't have a good bowl record. Again, the matchups that the Big 12 used to and still somewhat do set up for themselves, they ought to slap the old commissioner. Mm-hmm. Because, as I said, it's the Big 12's number three team against the Pac-10's number two, or the Big 12's number four against the SEC number two. Well, you're an underdog going into most of those games anyway.
Yeah.
And this time around, it just happened to work. Yeah, you know, Texas Tech favored. Should have won that football game.
You know, we saw the old Texas Tech.
Oklahoma State choked, you know.
Yeah, that's two games that the Big 12 South should have won and didn't and got dominated for the most part in both of them. And it was kind of embarrassing for the conference.
Well, Texas Tech ought to be more embarrassed than Oklahoma State because I think Oregon is a pretty
Oregon's
good football
pretty
team.
Tough.
And obviously Mississippi's pretty darn good too. But
Houston
wow.
Nutt got him rolling down there.
You know, I'm throwing this out as Pittsburgh has just been announced as this week's number one team in the coaches' basketball poll.
Mm-hmm.
What if Houston Nutt would have been the next football coach and not Bill Callahan at Nebraska?
Who knows where we'd be right now? We'd probably be beating Texas Tech in the Cotton Bowl is what we'd be doing, obviously.
Well, I think...
it's tough to tell. I mean, he's a good coach. People like to laugh at him.
He probably would have left here by now, but Peterson would probably still be here.
Yeah.
H-Man from Riverdale continues, as for Nebraska, great year. The improvement by the defense from Western Michigan to Clemson was remarkable. Let's all support Watson and Cotton's search for head coaching positions, though. I want to thank Bill Callahan for never redshirting Joey Gans. Good riddance, although he says, I know he did. It just would sound better if he didn't. As for beating Clemson, did any of you ever have a doubt? I doubt a coach nicknamed Dabo could ever beat Nebraska, but I know a coach named Bill would never beat this program. Yes, Dabo's given name is Bill. And lastly, I want to thank Bo Witt for his one play at quarterback, but we won't be needing your services any longer. Take a hike. If you hurry, maybe you can try out for the Anchorage YMCA Fall Flag B-League.
Wow.
H-Man strikes to start 2009. Doug and Daddy Show, Chris Bastet from the Kearney Hub filling in for an under-the-weather daddy, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Baz if he agrees with his own Kearney Hub number one sports story of the year. Back after this.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
In Las Vegas, the high rollers never miss a good play. Neither do you at Johnny Casino's Grand Island. You can watch every Husker game, whether broadcast or pay-per-view. Plus, NFL Sunday Ticket. Wednesdays, Texas Hold'em at 6:30 and 9:15. And even after your high school game is done, Johnny Casino's has the oven hot with fresh pizza. Johnny Casino's, west side of the Conestoga Mall off 281 Grand Island. And remember, what goes on at Johnny Casino's will bring you back to Johnny Casino's.
Hey, baby, what's your sign?
Hey, baby, where have you been all my life?
Welcome to Island Flooring. Can I help you?
At Island Flooring, we never hand you a line. Just honest advice about what works for you and your home. We know just about everything there is to know about our product, and we're ready to answer your questions. On the corner of Webb Road and Highway 30, call 308-398-1160. Visit islandflooringinc.com. Island Flooring, always low prices.
Hey, baby.
And honesty.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Here's a look at our forecast overall for much of our Monday. Anticipate bright sunshine, south winds also increasing to around 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a high temperature rebounding close to 38 degrees. For our Monday night, cloud cover on the increase with a low near 18. And then for our Tuesday, mostly cloudy and a high near 43.
Currently 28 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up later in the week, Stu Pospisil will talk about the updated high school basketball rankings. Going to effort Mark Bauer. The team went 3-1 at the Lone Star Duels. Their only loss, Division I Oklahoma, ranked 9th in the country. Now the Cliff Keene National Duels coming up this weekend in Iowa. UNK, the Huskers, all going to be there. Nebraska got two duel wins yesterday. Chris Basnett filling in for the daddy. Just taking a look at the weekend. It was a rough Saturday for Hastings College. The men fall 85-81. And the women fall at the buzzer, 70-68 on a three-pointer. 2 seconds to go, Northwestern gets it in, and Becca Hurley, who ends up with 33 points and 12 boards, hits the game winner, 70-68.
And, again, how do you let a girl that scored 33 points get a shot off at the buzzer if you're Hastings goal? I don't know.
That's why we continue to coach them.
That's right.
Drake Veronic, 21 in the first half after I talked to him over the holiday break, and 28 total points and a 69-45 drubbing of Doan.
Went to that game. Neither team shot well, but UNK just a better team in that
And
one.
We'll get back to them in just a second. That's kind of the talk of what's going on. Nebraska men, well, they blow out Maryland Eastern Shore.
Champions of the MEAC. Is that what that conference is with all those teams?
They're not the champs. They stink. Florida A&M coming in tonight. Tri-City Storm, 10 in a row. They were close. They lost 8-3 Friday, 2-1 in the third period on a power play.
And Derek
Saturday
and I were talking before the show. They lose a 2-1 game. That's almost like they win as bad as they've been getting beat.
And they're home Saturday and Sunday afternoon, a matinee game coming up tonight. Texas and Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. Who you like, Baz?
I like Texas. You know, I'm going to stay on the Big 12 South, even though they've disappointed me so far. But, it's Texas. It's Colt McCoy. They think and this is where the trap comes for Texas. They think they should be in that national championship game. Do they have a letdown, and does Ohio State come out and jump on them? I don't think so.
That's why USC does such a great job in Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. They had nothing to play for, and they still played outstanding in the Rose Bowl.
If he could coach like that in the regular season, they'd be playing in the national championship
game. It'd be nice if they get out of California to play the bowl game. Yeah. That's not meaningful. When's the last time that happened?
It's like Miami playing in the Orange Bowl every year back in the day.
Speaking of Stu, he threw out the top 10 stories he had. We've been doing this for the last week or so. His top 10 stories, very Omaha heavy. But number four, he had Aurora upsetting McCook in the state football playoffs. He had Grand Island winning their baseball title as the lowest seed ever at number seven. Also, he had Daniel Lemick of Donovan Trumbull. That's the reason they started a program over there, winning every golf tournament and winning state as a freshman. Well, Baz, it's you, Seth, and Buck put together the top ten, or do you go outside the box?
No, it's pretty much us three. We sit down and kind of go through everything.
Daddy and I were a little surprised that the number one story for the Kearney Hub, of which you are employed, was the departure of the men's basketball team and players. And again, this has been kind of a touchy subject, and Coach Kropp, talks about that in the story that Buck Mahoney wrote as the number one for you. This is kind of a 2 year and more story, and you're telling me that you think that was the number one story.
And I think it was, and because as Buck has said, just talking back and forth, and we were kind of deciding what to make number one. People want to know. People call us down at the hub when they say what's going on with the basketball team. People stop us on the street. What's happening with the basketball team? A lot of that's because the basketball team, the men's basketball team, has kind of been the face of the athletic program at UNK. And, if you go back, if you look in the story, the Lopers have had transfers before. You go back to 99, 2000, they lost a bunch of guys. And, guys have transferred, maybe not the quality of guys, I think, as we saw the last couple years, with guys that were going to start and going to contribute, Garrett Lever, Jeff Martin. Tyler Bullock. Yeah, I forgot his name again, but... and it makes it tough because, we're used to seeing the UNK team start the season, 14-1, 13-2. We're used to seeing them have 10 wins by the new year. They're starting out 3-6, 3-7. They're struggling. They're bringing in new guys. We're not used to seeing that around here, and I think that's got some people kind of upset because they're used to seeing UNK basketball go out and win 24, 25 games and have a good year.
And still having it tough when they win that many games in the region that they're in. Number two, UNK winning the wrestling title. Number three, Bliss Littler gone. I'm going to take shots for this, but So UNK adds women's soccer. I'm sorry. So what?
Yeah, and, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that's going to offend somebody. The new Coach Munch is going to have to convince me. So what?
And, you know, and we'd see a UNK program that struggles financially to support the programs it has. And, you know, I know they've wanted to add soccer for a long time. Where is the funding going to come from? That we're going to have to cut other stuff. You know, we're looking at maybe, I don't want to, you know, start any rumors or anything. Are we looking at having to cut a wrestling program? Are we looking to have to cut other stuff so we can support another women's program? I tend to agree with you. You know, what good does it do?
Well, that would become a story if it did cause problems yeah. otherwise.
Yeah, so. And I'm not trying to start any rumors. Nothing's been, you know, said or anything, but...
No, you gotta like it. And again, Tom Kropp going to the National High School Hall of Fame, that's the best story right there, along with the wrestling team winning the national championship of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, you know, Daddy and I probably agreed with you more than we ever had. So,
hey, happy
coming
new year.
Together
yeah.
in 09.
New love in the new year.
09. So that's what's going on. Fiesta Bowl tonight here on ESPN Radio. And also, we've got high school basketball on Power 99 tonight. So, we've got that for you with Minden and Grand Island Central Catholic and Husker men's basketball, The Breeze, 94.5 and 1230 AM KHAS. More special guests. We're going to get a little more local flavor with some of the high school coaches joining us here over the next 2 weeks, since we're really headed to what I call the second of the three portions of the season before Christmas, then up to conference, and then up to postseason. So I want to thank you all for joining us. I want to thank Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Chris Basnett, Carney Hupp, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Daddy, maybe back tomorrow. We'll find out. Enjoy your Monday, the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.